Well, I expected to be gone tonight, but the Lord knows about those things. I feel like He's given me a little more burden to leave here before I go. I was thinking about the scripture that says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. You know, tonight, I'm still thinking about the subject of discernment and wisdom that we talked about last week. We spoke of discernment some. And I was thinking this week how that, you know, the Lord knows that we need His help. And He doesn't look down on us and try to make us as nothing because we have needs. He made us with needs. And I believe that He made us with a place in our lives that cannot be filled with anything except the Lord. And if we try to live life without God, we will find many mishaps and mistakes in our lives. But you know, the Lord, He knows that we're dust, and He knows that we need Him. I want to look at Jonah 4 and look at just a little bit back here in Jonah's story. We find Jonah Jonah was quite a prophet. I don't quite understand him altogether. He knew what God wanted him to do, and he just simply ran from it, and then he complained. But you know, the Lord still sent him down to Nineveh to warn that big city of His judgments. And in verse 10 and 11 of Jonah, the fourth chapter, it says, "Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." Now we remember what happened when Jonah preached to the city of Nineveh. Then he went outside the city and sat there to see what was going to happen. And it was exceedingly hot. And this gourd, this vine, grew up and shaded him. And he was so thankful for that. Well, then it withered in a night. It grew up in a night, and in a night it withered. And Jonah was angry. And God said to Jonah in the ninth verse, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." And you know, Jonah here, we see him in this way. And then God said, "You've had pity on the gourd, and you didn't labor for it, and you didn't make it grow. It came up in a night and it perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" You know, the Lord knew that these Ninevites were wicked, and they didn't have any discernment or wisdom about life, about the things of God. And He told Jonah, He said, you had pity on this gourd, but now you didn't make the gourd. You didn't have anything to do with the gourd, and you had pity on it. Shouldn't I have pity on these poor people that I made? In other words, I made them. I gave them their life. You didn't give the gourd life. But shouldn't I have pity on these people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left? You know, that seems like the easiest thing there is. Discern between our hands, discern between what our hands are doing. That comes second nature. We don't stop and think about that. But God said these people were so ignorant of discernment that they couldn't discern between their right hand and their left. What He was saying is these people didn't have a clue about the things that were right in life. They murdered. They fought. They fought wars. They were wicked. They had a name. The Ninevites had a name for being very wicked people. especially to those they took captive. But you know, tonight, the Lord said they can't discern anything. They can't even discern between the right. But I have pity on them. Jonah, should I not have pity on them? You know, this evening, I just want us to think about this, that the Lord sees people. He sees you and me. He doesn't down us because He knows that we don't have any discernment without Him. He knows that without God, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You know, you might think, well, what do you mean I can't do anything? We couldn't even breathe if it wasn't for the Lord. There's nothing we could do. There's not a thing. We couldn't live. We couldn't make any right choices because Satan would have our minds so marred and so distorted as we see all around us. But you know what? God has pity on that. And He sees those people and He sees you and me. And tonight, I just want to look a little bit into the mind of God about how the Lord looks at us and how He wants to give us the things that we need. I want to read again the definition of discernment. It says the act of discerning, also the power or faculty of the mind by which it distinguishes one thing from another, as truth from falsehood. Now that seems pretty easy to you and me. That's not easy for the world around us. They're not able to discern or to judge between truth and falsehood. It seems like they should be able to, but they're not, because they've left God out of the equation. Virtue from vice. Acuteness of judgment, power of perceiving differences of things or ideas and their relations and tendencies. The errors of youth are often proceed from the want or the lack of discernment. And so I just want us to think about tonight a little bit for a few minutes. This is just part of the burden tonight. But you know, the Lord sees our lacks and our needs. He knows. And what pleases Him is when we just admit it. And we just say, Lord, without You, I can do nothing. Can you say that to the Lord tonight? Without You, I can do nothing. I can't even make good judgments if You don't give me good judgment. I believe that. I'm scared to death of my own judgment without God, because I've seen where it leads people. Smart people make really bad decisions a lot of times, don't they? All of us. We're not any of us outside this. And so the thing that we want to do is humble our hearts to the Lord. Lord, I need Your help. I need to know how to deal with these situations in my life. I need to know how to raise my children. You know, the Lord wants us to ask Him that. He wants us to humble ourselves to that. Lord, I know, I may think I know. And I knew more, it seemed like, when I got married than I did after I had been married for 20 years and trying to raise children. It seemed like I felt like I had less understanding, even though I had a lot more. You know, that's the way it is, isn't it? We realize how much we need something from God. The Scripture says in one place, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God will peradventure give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, the Lord could easily have said, just slay your enemies. Those that don't trust in me, those that don't believe in God, those that make bad judgment, just kill them. And at one time in the Old Testament, they did some of those things. But you know, He told us in meekness, you instruct those that oppose themselves, that they may be recovered out of the snare of the devil. That's the way God looks at people. That's why He died. That's why Christ died. I want to look at James 1 and 5. And it says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, I want to tell you, I quote the Scripture of the Lord a lot. I need wisdom. I need the Lord to help me to make wise decisions in life. You know, we all need that tonight. And do you know what the Lord looks at that? He knows that because He made us with that lack on purpose. It says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now that has nothing to do with whether somebody's smart in science or math or English or whatever. That has nothing to do with that. We're talking about something totally different. We're talking about wisdom. Using proper judgment and being able to use it in a way that is wise and that brings about a blessing and that brings someone closer to God. That's wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, tonight, the Lord knows our hearts. He wants us to come to Him, seeking Him with a heart full of assurance. Lord, I need You, and I'm calling upon You, and I'm expecting You to help me. Now, that may seem like, well, what if I don't have faith? You know what? I believe if we come to the Lord, He's going to help us. If we come to Him and we begin to call out to Him and tell Him our need, and I want to use this scripture to back that up. In Mark 9 and 23, we find Jesus here, and this person that came to Him, in verse 22, this child that they brought to the Lord, and the father said, oftentimes they have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, what's this man going to do? I need help, Lord. And, you know, and the Lord says, if you can believe, and he says, he burst down in tears. Well, Lord, he said, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You know, the Lord knows our need. You know, he loves to help our need tonight. And if we, you know, he tells us in James, let him come in faith. But I tell you, I believe that faith is coming to God, knocking on the door and asking and continuing to ask. Lord, I came to get what I need. I believe you have it for me. You know, we're all different, but we have a lot of things we need in life in the way of understanding, discernment, wisdom, the difference, to know the difference between vice and virtue. That was part of the definition of discernment, to be able to know the difference between a lot of those things. It don't come naturally. And so some things may come a little bit natural, but the Lord has to help us. And I want to turn to Proverbs 2 now. And I wanted to bring that backdrop. I just felt like the Lord gave me those scriptures to share with us that God wants to give us the discernment in life that we need. He wants to give us the wisdom that we need, that later our decisions can bless us and bless our family and draw us closer to the Lord. I don't believe that the Lord wants us to be making bad decisions all the time. In Proverbs 2 and 1, how do we get wisdom? How do we get these things from the Lord? We know He wants to give them to us. We know He desires for us to have proper discernment and wisdom in our life. The writer begins in the second chapter in the first verse and says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now listen to every word here. These words are choice words. If you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's the scripture I think we started with last Sunday. Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do we feel like tonight, so many things I don't understand. I want to tell you, the Lord left us some of those secrets for us to find out. And He wants to show us those things. But it's to the people that come before Him, and He says, if you'll do these things, if you will incline your ear unto wisdom. Now I'll tell you, Jesus said unto some, He said, having ears they hear not, and eyes they see not. You know, people can have ears and hear only the things they want to hear. They hear the things that they like. They hear the things that make them feel like they can do the things that their heart so desires, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all of those things. But you know, the scripture says, if you'll incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Oh, tonight, that's what I want to share with us. God wants us to have it. He knows that we're dust. He knows we don't have it. And we'll do well to admit that. I don't have it. I don't have it without God. He's going to have to teach me His ways. But I want to tell you how you get His ways. Believe, trust, live the things of God. Apply your heart. Apply your ear to the things that lend unto wisdom. What is wisdom? The beginning of it is the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. That we leave off our old life, the sins, and that we take our path after God. That's the beginning of wisdom. And then He wants to teach us from there the things that are good, the things that are not good. The Lord wants us to have understanding of the things that will bless our home. I have seen many homes, and some right among us, I have watched through the years, and I'm not talking about present situations, I have watched homes bring things into their home that proved to be the destruction of their home. And I saw them bring those things in, and I was thinking then, why are they doing those things? Was it sin? No, it wasn't all sin, but it became sin. They began to follow after the lust of their flesh and the entertainments that the world had to offer until where was God? It wasn't applied unto wisdom. And pretty soon you see a family that's completely in the Lord dysfunctional. Completely. It happens over and over. You know, brothers, men, God sets you as the head of your home. Be the head of your home. Get wisdom. Get a hold of the things that are good. Stand up for the things. Stand against those things that Satan would try to subtly bring into your home. Stand against those attitudes that you see that Satan begins to work with. I've watched people that began to get an attitude about something, and they began to say this and say that. And you think, wow, I wouldn't want my children to hear that. And they say it right in front of your children. And I've just personally, there's been times I've said, please don't say those things in front of my children. I don't want them to hear those things. You know, this morning or this evening, God wants to give us some discernment and understanding about our life. But we have to apply our hearts. We have to apply our ears to listen to the words of wisdom that comes from this book. And we begin to eat that and drink that. And I will tell you, when we begin to see a little attitude, as all of us from time to time have to be careful of things that try to get a hold of us, you know what? Then we see that. That's got to be crucified. Because if it doesn't, it will live. And if it lives, it will cause trouble in your home. We heard about this morning in Sunday school about the Gibeonites and how that God told them, you destroy all the people in this land. I'm giving you their land. Well, Joshua blinked a little bit. And the Gibeonites came. Joshua was an excellent leader. He feared God. He was careful in his walk with the Lord. But I'll tell you, when the Gibeonites came, he forgot to do something. He forgot to ask the Lord. How about this? And the next thing you know, they're sitting in their midst causing them trouble all through the years. We see it. You know, that can be the way our life is. I talked to a man, a brother, a good brother one time, and he told me, and he used that very terminology. He said he blinked. And what he meant was, I got too involved in the world instead of following the will of God. And he took great loss from it in his home. He couldn't recover that. And you know, I don't look down on him, but I will tell you, it makes me fear God. Lord, I want to follow the ways of wisdom. I want to have discernment in our ways, in the things that we do, in our congregation. Lord, give us discernment. Pray for us. I ask you to do that. We need the Lord to give us the wisdom and discernment to know the difference between what's good and what's bad. The things that will bless and the things that will tear up. Because sometimes we take things into our lives that will destroy us. And people don't even recognize it. And I wonder why. And sometimes you try to tell them so, but they don't have an ear to hear such a thing. You know, tonight, God wants to give us that. We read all those scriptures to start with to say this. God is very concerned about us. He was even concerned about those wicked Ninevites that couldn't discern between their right hand and their left. Didn't have any kind of discernment. But God was concerned about them and told Jonah that he was. So tonight, if we'll search, it says, if thou seekest her as silver. You know what that's, you know, I'm going to paraphrase that in what I understand in my language. You know what people seek in their lives? They seek pleasure. And another big thing is they seek money. That's what silver signifies. Be careful in our lives. If we will seek the Lord like men seek that, if we'll seek the Lord in that way, he said, then you'll find. He said, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I found it to be true. You set your heart to seek God, and I will tell you, you will find the riches. You will find the silver. You'll find the gold. You'll see God's hand work. I'm convinced of one thing and convicted of one thing. If you live for God with all your heart, you will see him work many miracles. And when you see things happen that you don't understand, there's one thing about it. It's not going to move the fact that you know God does work because you have lived for him and seen his work close up. You're not going to throw in the towel because he did something you don't understand. You know, tonight there's benefits to living close to God. There's benefits to letting him in, put within us and mesh into our life. Discernment. Discernment, the difference between good and bad and what's vice. What'll get a hold of you? And those things that are virtue, those things that are manly and godly. The Lord wants us to know the difference. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. I heard about a ship that a man or a group of men, whatever it was, that was searching for different ships. I think the Titanic was one. How many years did they search for that ship? And they sounded these. They had the ocean chalked off on maps, charts, every square mile, I believe it was. And they went through those areas until they found it. They finally found it. You know, that's how people seek for hid treasures. Because there's something there that they see is that valuable. You know, if we'll do that in the things of God, it's that valuable. And a lot more. Because it has eternal rewards. I thank the Lord tonight. It says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord, verse 6 in 2 of Proverbs, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. You know what? He lays it up. What does he lay up? Sound wisdom. That stuff that's sound, that's solid, that cannot be second guessed. He lays that up for the righteous, for those whose heart is perfect toward him. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Maybe that was the scripture we had started with. But you know, the Lord wants us to understand, and he knows our frame, that we are dust. We in our own strength, just like Joshua, a man of God, a man that heard God's voice, that knew the Lord, that followed God, that was willing to do all the will of God. He was not afraid to march against the walled cities without the proper machinery and warfare and all what he needed. He wasn't afraid to do it in the name of the Lord. But he forgot to ask the Lord about these Gibeonites. Let's don't forget to ask God. It puts fear in my heart. I'll be honest with you. I want to pray every, Lord, I want you to help me not to blink. Don't let me take a major loss like they took because I forgot to ask you. Because things was going pretty good and I saw you working and I was overtaken with it all and I just went on in my own strength. I don't want to do that. You know, the Lord wants to give us wisdom. He wants to give us direction and those things. I was thinking about the way, the different ways God works in us finding that. In Hebrews 4 and 12, we're all very familiar with that passage. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can't go any deeper than that. That's down in the heart of everything, down in the middle. The word of God will discern like that. You know, if we will open our hearts to all the Word of God, Lord, all I want to know is what you want to tell me. My heart is open. My spiritual ears are hungry. I'm ready to hear you. And what you say, I'm willing to do by the grace of God. Anything you require, I'm willing to do. You know, when we do that, don't you know that God just loves to feed us? Did he die in vain? Did he come for no reason? No, he came because he loved us. And you know, he loves to take us in his arms. He loves to teach us. He wants to give us answers. He wants to solve life's riddles in our life. I believe he takes pleasure in that. But you know, the Lord wants his word to live in our life. Read it. Read it day by day. Take it into our life. Take it with your children. Study it with them. Take time to do those things. And, you know, there's a way when the Word lives in our heart to impart it to other people. Now, if we're not living it and we just want to teach them so they will, it don't work that way, does it? But, you know, the Lord wants the Word of God to live in our life. Thank the Lord for that. That's one of the ways that we learn wisdom, by the Word of God, by the preaching of the Word, by the teaching of the Word, by others helping us with that. I thought about Paul. He spoke how the Lord had given him direct revelation. And one place he talked about how that the Lord had given him an abundance of revelations. And the Lord had let there be a thorn in the flesh so that he wouldn't get lifted up. God had given him an abundance of revelations. You know, does he only want to speak to Paul with revelation? He wants to speak to us too. That comes through the Holy Spirit, through him living in our life, through us feasting from him and allowing him to speak to us. The Lord wants us to enjoy that and to pray and seek Him. I was thinking about a couple of other ways. One is by those who are exercised by the corrections of life that it teaches us. I don't know about you. Well, I think I do. But for me, life has had to correct me quite a few times. But you know, we don't always take it, do we? And especially until we realize that life needs to correct us. But sometimes life corrects us, and it might come in the form of some wicked person we're working with. And they might ferret out some double standard that we live in our life. You know, those things should correct us too. The Lord wants us to take that. It might come from our children or our spouse correcting us, telling us that's just not right. There's just something not right about that. You know, the Lord wants us to be humble enough to be corrected by those things. He longs to teach us wisdom. And those that seek the Lord with all their heart, like it's for silver and like it's for hid treasures, they're looking for every piece of information from every side. And sometimes that humbles us, doesn't it? Because maybe we didn't know. We just thought we did. And I had to finally accept that about some major issues, that I had to realize the way I was raised on that wasn't right. That sometimes takes us a few years to realize and come face to face with and then accept. But you know, that teaches us, doesn't it? It helps us in our life. And the other thing was the hearty counsel given by others. Proverbs 20 and 18 says, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. I don't know about you, but I appreciate counsel. I want it. I long for it. I need it from all of you all. If you see things that we need that can be done better, please help us. I want that. You know, the hearty counsel of a friend, sometimes even the counsel of an enemy, can really help us if we'll be taught by it. And Hebrews talks about those things of now, no chastening for the present is joyous, but grievous. But you know, those things teach us, don't they? By those things we're taught. And so tonight I just want to leave that with us, that the Lord wants to give us things. He wants us to know and to know how to come to the understanding of things that are good and right. And it doesn't come by just saying, well, that's just a no-brainer. I know that. I don't care what the ministers say. I don't believe that. I want to tell you, I don't like that. That doesn't sound right to me. Listen. Take counsel. Just try to understand. Is it, Lord, I'm seeking you. I just want to know what you really want. You know, the Lord wants us to be that way. And I'm going to read a few more scriptures here. In 1 John 4 and 1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, there is a lot of false stuff out there, a lot of false ideas, and they're not always just out there. Sometimes they come in to our midst, and the Lord wants us to know how to discern between those things and what is God's will and what is right. It says, try the spirits. How do we try it? We try it against the Word of God. But I want to tell you something else that's valuable. What have those taught that have lived close to God? That means something to me. I don't want to just throw it out and cast it as nothing. I don't live just by that. But I'll tell you, I want to know what they taught. I want to know what they believed, because it matters to me. I want to weigh it against the Word. I want to hear what they thought, how they got to that, what they understand, because it matters. What I found is the farther you go in the way, the more you understand those things that maybe as a young person you might not understood. But Hebrews 5, maybe we'll close with this. Hebrews 5 and 12. For when for the time, well, I'll start at 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now, Paul was pretty bold here writing. I suppose it was Paul writing to the Hebrews. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, there's a time in our life that, folks, it's time for us to be able to teach others. This wasn't speaking to a select group, I don't believe. This is speaking to all of us. There is a time that we all ought to be able to share with others the truth of the gospel, the things that work, the way the Lord has dealt with us, that is, if we've grown in Him. If we have paid the price to reach for the understandings the Lord has for us. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use, they have their senses exercised. They've used their senses. They've exercised them. They've sought the Lord about 100 things. And now this 101st, they've got all that backdrop to already help them to understand. You know, the Lord wants us to exercise our senses in Him and begin to reach for those things that we know God's approval is on. He wants to anoint our lives with His Spirit. I remember when Brother Chuck used to say, and I got a hold of it. He said, you know, we pray for the Lord to anoint a service. And I believe we should do that. But he said the Lord anoints lives. And everywhere that life is, the Lord anoints. The Lord wants to anoint our lives. He wants to put His Holy Spirit upon us and work through us. Everywhere we are, everywhere we go, the Lord wants to do that. And so I'm saying that to say He does that on things He can put His approval on. God can't put His approval on just any life. He cannot put His anointing on our life if our life is in error of the Word of God. He cannot put His anointing and His freshness of the waft of His Spirit. He cannot do that if we live in such a way that brings dishonor to His name. So tonight I just want to challenge us. God sees us. He saw the Ninevites. He saw their wickedness. He saw their... And yet, He said, I have compassion on them. Should I not have compassion on them? That's what He said to Jonah. Should I not have? He made them. He cared about them. And I want to tell you, He made us too. And He cares about us. And God wants to fill us. And if you read the Scriptures through and through, you'll find that He wants to give us a fullness of His Spirit and a fullness of His anointing and a fullness of His presence. God wants to be in our lives, but it comes from those, and that's the only way it comes, from those that seek Him as people seek Him for hid treasures and for silver and for riches. God help us. I want to do that. I want to live to the last day of my life and seal it with my death. I want to live that way. You all pray for us tonight. Amen.